This is tape 3 of the 6-tape series, Pulling Down Strongholds Through Prayer and Fasting. For those who would like, we will share information on how you may obtain material produced at Shiloh Place Ministries following the message. We'd like to encourage you, before entering into a fast, consult a physician. There are those who suffer with certain physical problems to whom fasting may be detrimental, so please, consult your physician.
But it's the fruit of fasting, the refiner's fire, purging and breaking those evil thoughts to where you don't have to live in all these lusts of the eyes and the flesh that was poured into me for 30 years, that's come down generation to generation. You mean I'm never tempted? I'm not saying that. I'm saying my mind does not live where it used to dwell, the shame of where it used to dwell. Because fasting and the lifestyle became to break that pattern. Before you enter into a fast, what I suggest is reading through Isaiah 58, 1 through 12. Now, you've got it all outlined out for you right now. Here's the impure motives that you don't want to take on. Here's the pure motives you want to take on. But here's the promise of the reward. Here's what God's willing to do. Believe for it. Wait on the Lord during the fast. Wait on the blessing. Wait on the promises to come, because He's roaming all over the earth. He's watching over His word to perform this, to bring these blessings into His life. So I can't fast one day. I can't fast one meal without knowing I'm going to be blessed. I expect it. I look for it. I come into a church in the same way. I expect 50% of the people, when I come into church for 3 or 4 days of the meeting, I expect 50% of these families will never be the same again. When I go to David's, 50% are never going to be the same. I'm looking for it. I'm praying it when I'm fasting. I'm praying it when I'm coming in. Now, in the past year, I've moved it up. Everywhere we go, every Sunday morning, people are going to get saved. People are going to get saved. We haven't seen a Sunday in I don't know how long. Minimum 5 are going to get saved here tomorrow. You watch. Minimum. Maybe up to 10, I told Mike, are going to get saved. Not tomorrow, but Sunday morning. They're going to be saved. I believe for it. I work here. I believe it in the fasting. I believe it when I'm going into a fast. It's part of the goal. It's part of what I'm looking for. It's not a self-motivation. It's God wants people saved. Separating the primary motivation from the secondary. Now, chapter 4. Other biblical reasons. Other biblical reasons and rewards for prayer and fasting. We see in these verses, in Matthew 6, verse 16, let's go ahead and read through them. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, I left out the word when there, didn't I? No. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay and reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor dust destroy and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now the key little phrase here is not if you fast, but it's when you fast. Fasting is not something that is optional for believers. It's an expectation. Jesus expects you to fast. He expects that you're going to do this. When the disciples asked them, tell us, how do you pray? He didn't say, well, if you pray, pray this way. He said, when you pray, pray our Father. The same little phrase he used for fasting. He didn't come and say, if you decide to fast. He said, when you fast. But I believe it is part of our daily or a part of our regular Christian living. Would you be a Christian and not pray? Not meditate on God? You would probably be a very powerless Christian. Would you be a Christian and not fast? You would probably be a very powerless Christian there too. Fasting is a regular part of the Christian's armament against the warfare that's going to come against their life, as well as it's a regular part of bringing down the strongholds, bringing down the issues in our life that have hindered us from walking in the fullness of who God is. Some people say, well, Jesus didn't fast. Well, that's because
This verse here, it says, and John's disciples and Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with me, the attendants of the bridegroom do not fast, do they? So his disciples didn't fast. They're with the bridegroom. So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. And he said, he's at the right hand of the Father. Yes, he lives and dwells within us, but the day is here. He was taken away up in the heaven, and from that day forward, the church, if you read the book of Acts, began fasting. Now, why should we be any different? It's an expectation in the plan of Jesus that believers fast. It's part of our Christian life. Now, why fast? What are some other Old Testament reasons? We'll just go over these quickly. We see in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 3 through 22, one of them was to overcome fear. Jehoshaphat and Ezra feared their enemies, and this prompted them to proclaim a fast. And the course of history may have been changed as a result of this fast. Now, I get feeling insecure every now and then. How about you? I've been feeling really insecure this year in that I have gotten beyond my ability to manage what is happening in my life. You kind of get kind of insecure. Put me at sea with 40, 50 mile an hour winds on a 45 foot boat. I'm not insecure about that. You would be. I'm not. I can handle that. I've been there, but I'm in the territory I've never been. So I'm fasting more than I ever have. Because I know as soon as you feel insecure or fearful, start fasting. Now, as soon as I move into that life of fasting, I'm not insecure anymore. I'm just excited. Just let it come. My brain might snap, but let it come. You know? So I'm trying to get rid of my mind anyway. I'm trying to get a hold of the mind of Christ. But protection from the enemies. In Ezra 8, 21 and through 23, we saw how Ezra sought protection from the enemies when they were leaving Babylon, and they had all this treasure and this wealth of the temple they were taking home with them, and they wouldn't even bring a guard with them. They wouldn't let Babylon send any guards with them. They said, we're just going to pray, and we're going to go the way the Lord leads. And even though bandits were all over the place, no one touched them. Now keep in mind the words we've talked about, primary and secondary, as we're looking at these as these. I should have probably put at the top of there, secondary, and you may want to write up there, secondary reasons for fasting. In the next edition, we'll do that. Secondary, because if we make these primary, you will see little results. Now you're trying to fast to move God. So these are more secondary reasons in the Old Testament for fasting. Fasting to open a closed room. In 1 Samuel 1, we see that Samuel was born because of a fast. Samuel became one of the greatest judges or the greatest prophets of Israel. And Hannah fasted in order to get her womb to bear birth in her womb. And when she fasted, Samuel came out of that fast and was a man of purity, a man of holiness. Fasting for the nations defined repentance. And Bill Bright, in 1994, went into a 40-day fast for the repentance of the nation. And out of that, he felt God saying, I want you to call 2 million Christians in America to fast for repentance by the year 2000. He's asking 2 million Christians to fast 40 days by the year 2000 for repentance in the land. He's got a book out on that. That's what I came across a year ago, January, when it first hit the street. And went into a 40-day fast. Now, in fasting and repenting for the nation, you're not, look at all these dope dealers, look at all the gangs. Father, just set them free from their sinfulness. Look at the sin that the nation walks in and the abortion. No, no, no. You don't fast and pray repentance over the other people's sins. You see on the next page. In these verses, if you'll look through there, almost every one of these verses in 1 Samuel 7 and Nehemiah 9, they confess their sins. Mm-hmm. Not other sins, their sins. The sins of this nation are our sins. Not yours. They're the sin of the church. And I was in Poland last summer, or last September, a year ago. I went to Auschwitz. And I walked back to the ovens where 1.5 million people known to have been killed there. They don't know about the records that were burned. And I walked back into those ovens, and I stood there, and they've got a big memorial, and it's a very solemn place. You can't walk back there and stand over the building. The building wasn't much bigger than this room, a little bit bigger, and the Germans dynamited, and there was two buildings, two ovens there. And they dynamite them, but you sit there and you look over that, and what consumed me was the sins of this country. Because if you know a little bit about the history of what happened during the Holocaust, and you learn it when you're in Eastern Europe, the Jews were fleeing everywhere prior to that, and they were getting on ships going everywhere. No country would receive them because they didn't want to offend Hitler and Germany. And they all got sent back. America was one of those countries. There was one ship with 800 Jews sitting in the harbor in New York Harbor. They wouldn't let them off, and America sent it back. They all went to the ovens. And as I looked at those sins, all I could do at those ovens was weep and stand there and weep for an hour in just the thought of it, that moment. They were my sins. You and I would have done the same thing. We sit there, we wouldn't have done that. We would have done the same thing. It's the sins of Jack Frost. Even as you're walking, and I was walking along with Stasha, a friend of ours that was born and raised in that area in a pasture, and he'd reach down and he'd pick up, look at this pebble. He'd say, squeeze it. And he'd squeeze it, turn to powder. Boy, that thing's soft. That's because it's bone. Plays all over the landscape, all around the town there. You see, it's our sin. And when we begin to repent for the sin of the nation, we begin to repent for the sin of a church or a city. It's not their sin. It's our sin. Because we have to own that. Because we all enter into that. And fasting literally will come in and begin to redirect the entire nation if we're willing to move into that. Number five, Israel fasted during times of defeat, that there was civil war taking place between the tribe of Benjamin and Israel, and the tribe of Benjamin defeated Israel in one great army. They had rebelled against the other tribes in one great battle, and 40,000 men of Israel died, and so Israel was brought to their knees with prayer and fasting. Then they went back in the battle after the prayer and fast, and they won that battle. Even after losing 40,000 men, that prayer and fasting changed the course of history there. Time of grief, what's the first thing you don't want to do? You see, it's a natural thing when grief comes to want to go into a fast. Oh, you've got to eat, though. You've got to eat. You need your strength. Don't tell them that. The Bible says that people fasted during that. They don't want to eat. And when a person's life is so wounded that they don't want to eat, it is an automatic, biblical, godly response that God programmed into us to help bring us into healing and restoration. Yet we encourage people to eat and we take all this food over to their house. No, so we can have a wait. And yet in biblical times, when death occurred, people went right into fasting. We fast when others' words are piercing your heart. We saw in Psalm 109, verse 22 through 26, it says, "For I am afflicted and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I'm passing like a shadow when it lengthens. I'm shaken off like the locust. My knees are weak from fasting. My flesh has grown lean without fatness. I've also become a reproach to them. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to thy loving kindness." As soon as I find myself moving into feeling wounded in heart at what someone may have done or someone didn't do or hurt or wounded, I go right into a fast because I know if I don't, I'm going to get bitter. And I start seeing things my way when my flesh is in control. When I move into a fast, I start seeing things from God's perspective instead of from my perspective. David understood that. And so he would go into fast when people would hurt or wound him. We saw that in Psalm 35, verse 13 and 14 also. Number 8, we can fast because of emotional pain or distress. Psalm 112 is the prayer and the cry of an afflicted person, crying out for mercy and crying out for the mercy of Israel. It's a cry of groanings done with fasting. Even brought in Psalm 35, seeing that I forget to eat my bread because of the woundedness that comes within his own life and feeling withered and hurt and bruised. And so as soon as accusations and wounding comes, I start fasting. It may just be a Daniel fast. It may be a partial fast. But somehow, I'll move right into a realm of fasting again. We fast to increase insight, wisdom, and understanding into the heart of God. Daniel had read from the words of the prophet Jeremiah in Daniel 9. He didn't understand the words of the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet of weeping. He's talking about all the judgment, talking about all the calamity upon Israel. He lacked understanding and insight, so he gave himself to prayer and fasting so that his flesh would be quieted and he'd be more sensitive to the realm of the Spirit. He gave himself, it said, to seek him by prayer and supplication in Daniel 9, verse 3. As soon as I have a great need of insight, wisdom, guidance, again, move right into a season of fasting. Fasting to turn the direction of a city or a nation. Literally, Jonah came into Nineveh and he proclaimed God's judgment was upon Nineveh, and the people began to fast and pray, and the king heard about it of Nineveh, and he proclaimed literally a total fast over the land, an absolute fast that they were not to eat and they were not to drink. And so what did God do? Spare judgment upon the people. It turned the course of judgment of an entire city. What would happen with the churches in a city began to fast and pray? Not just one church, but the churches began to gather together and fast and pray for their city, fast and pray for their county. Praying for the sins that are out there on the streets? No. Praying for the sins that are right here. Us owning the sin of this community. Because it begins in Christians' homes that have not portrayed the image of a loving, caring Father, and it's overflowed into the streets. We can fast for others to be healed. David fasted 4 days or 7 days for his son to be healed, who was the product of the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. Now, this fast wasn't too successful. The son died. But there is a place of fasting for others to be healed. That God, we know that God desires them to prosper and be in good health. Jerry Funk, Jerry and Gladys' son, 40-year-old son, this summer, his whole body was shutting down. He'd had a lot of health problems in the past, and they just continued to multiply. And it got so bad, in August, they went into a 21-day Daniel fast. And boy, you get Jerry into a 21-day Daniel fast, you've done something there. I mean to tell you. But he went into the 21-day of Daniel fast, I think the first time Jerry had fasted for any major length of time. And just basic fruits and vegetables and water, and that's it, eating nothing else besides that. And during that time, they began to tell me some about what was going on with their son, Jerry. And Jerry, I had ministered to him for 2 days rather extensively, knew everything about his life, knew everything the parents had told me. And things just were not adding up. He had all the fruit. His muscles were shutting down. His body's shutting down. He can hardly walk without crutches. He's in a wheelchair half the time. He can't hardly get around, and the doctors can't understand it. And I said, he's got all the fruit of death wishes. But I ministered to him, and then that never came out. It never came out during the ministry time. But he's got everything of the hidden death wishes in him. And I said, send him this chapter, and have him read this chapter out of a book. And read the chapter out of the book, and sure enough, I said, and then have him call me after read the chapter. Well, he emailed me because he couldn't do it on phone. He's given me permission to use this, but basically he was raped as a 12-year-old boy. Three boys in the neighborhood raped him. He'd never told a soul. No one knew. He'd never mentioned this. It brought so much hurt, so much shame into him, and for the next several years, he just wanted to die. And he had all these hidden death wishes as a child. And death wishes do not just go away. They begin to affect your body. And they began to affect his body some 25 years on down the line. He told me that, and I was going to pray with him over the phone, but it was so extensive, I called inner healing or counseling network of ministers called him. Is there a minister in this area out in Washington State that ministers in this realm? And sure enough, we 45-minute drive away, he went to the person, went for 1 2-hour session. And he's outside mowing the lawn. And now he's going back for a season of a number of months, every 2 weeks, and getting one to 2 hour sessions, walking through some of this. But within literally 1 2-hour session, he's back, and now his muscles are beginning to work again, and healing's being restored to his body. But revelation and understanding came through that, through 21 days of fasting, helping the root be exposed through that, opening his heart to where he's finally willing to talk about something he couldn't talk about for 25 years. There was a lot of little mechanics that fast began to open up and break things that led to healing of his physical body. Now, not only is he getting physical healing, he's getting emotional healing. We can fast for health and purification in our own life. Daniel and his friends fasted certain foods and only ate the foods that had life in it, fruits and vegetables in Daniel 1. And, of course, their countenance became better. Just because they went into a Daniel fast. You go into a Daniel fast, immediately you will begin to find differences within your physical body. And we've got a whole chapter on how fasting can bring health to your body, so we're not going to spend much time there. Fasting can break discouragement. We need to realize life is a life of seasons. Spring and summer, fall and winter. You will continually, emotionally be on this cycle. The problem is some people get into winter and never know how to get out. Now in Poland, where we go, northern Poland, right now it's hardy. In the teens or zeros at night. They're winter. In the winter time, it gets dark at 3:30 in the afternoon and light at 9:30. There's certain parts of the world that is almost in an everlasting winter. There are certain people that live there. But now I've been down on the equator on the Amazon River, and you go down there, 5:30 in the morning, the sun comes up, 5:30 at night, the sun comes down, goes down. 12 months out of the year, it's the same temperature year-round, even though life's a life of seasons. Now, who would rather live on the equator, or who would rather live up, some people like the cold, but give me the equator anytime, you know. You can determine the length of your seasons. Winter is going to come. But what winter is meant to do is to take the ground into a thing of rest. And we know about winter seasons in John 15, about how it's during that time in verses 1 through 5, 6, it's during that time that the landowner comes and prunes the vine. Because what happens at winter, all life within the vine dies in that vine. That grapevine literally dies. And all the fluid dries up and there's no more moisture in it and it goes into a season of death. That is when you come and you prune the tree. Because the tree had borne fruit in the past, now they want to go and let it bear some more fruit. So they go and snip away all the hidden areas that might be stealing the life of the vine, all the branches that didn't produce fruit, they cut those off and they prepare the tree for a wonderful, glorious harvest. Fasting does that. That as soon as I catch myself going into a winter, I'd really like this only last about a month, maybe. I've been in one-year winters. And so when I move into a time of discouragement, a time of winter, I realize, all right, this is the plan of God. You need to realize that first. It's the plan of God. In fact, one pastor I knew, he had all these hornets that were getting him all summer long, and they could not find that hornet's nest in his yard. And when winter came, all the leaves fell off the tree, and there's a great big hornet's nest up there. You see what winter does? It exposes where these things are coming and attacking you. Winter brings you into a place of death to where now the Father can come and prune away some of the dead weight. And so as soon as winter comes, I know, okay, he's wanting to expose some things now, so I'm going to go into a fast. That will bring the exposing quicker, and the quicker I deal with it, the quicker springtime comes. Winter is wonderful. Because what follows winter? Now, summer and fall, I know what's coming next. But so when winter comes, I move right into a fast, begin to deal with that. Some fast for a day, some are 3 days, and I do a lot of Daniel fasting. I live that lifestyle pretty much, except if I'm overseas. But then just, I'll eat whatever you got. Give me the Polish sausage. Give me the stuff, you know. Let it come on. Every house you go into, all these sweet cakes and these white flowers and these sugars. And they force them down you, you know. And everybody's got to eat. It's wonderful. I just have the time of my life. But then when I get home, I know, okay, now I'm going to have to shed some of this feeding my flesh for so long. Because what? I want to be so sensitive to the Spirit. That there's no hidden area of darkness in me that I'm aware of, that I minister to my wife, minister to my children, and then I come out here and minister to you. Fasting breaks those winter seasons, brings us over into the springtime seasons quicker.
Dean, when you set your motives behind fasting in order, one of the second primary rewards that you will see happen, you cannot fast and financial bondage is not be broken. Can't do it. When I started lining up to the proper reason for fasting in 1991, when I started going from fasting to survive in ministry, to fasting when I got out of ministry and started Shiloh Place and there was no ministry, had plenty of time and started fasting just to pursue God, to know Him more deeply than ever before, we had almost no money coming in. We survived a family of five of the first year of ministry. We took in $18,000, and somehow the blessing of God was there. But what would happen, we'd go out, and I had no churches supporting me to speak of, and only a couple of monthly supporters. But I'd go into solitude for 5 days, go off, and I'd fast for 5 days, go into solitude, and it was amazing. If May I went into my solitude fast, and I try to do it every 3 to 4 months, May I go into that, then April the finances would just pour in and be enough to last 2 or 3 months. And then 3 or 4 months later, I'd go into another fast, and then the month after, finances would pour in. And it took us about a year and a half to see the pattern. And I showed Trish, look at this pattern. Every time I went on a fast, the next month was the biggest month we had financially up to that year. She said, why don't you go on a fast some more? And so we started seeing that pattern, that it's not the primary reason we went on a fast, but the secondary and one of the chiefest, most primary rewards received was finances beginning to break over and over again. So you can believe that's one of the things that will come down every time, especially during longer fasts, is financial bondages will be broken. And I used to make a lot of money in the world fishing and never had much money, but even afterwards, but since I've been in ministry for now 13 years, you know, I've never had money in the bank. Every time anything came in, it goes right out. You know, within an hour, it's gone. You know, as fast as it takes you to write. Well, in the last 2 years, finances have just been pouring in. And now the offering here today, I go home and put it in a bank account that's already got thousands of dollars in it. You know, and it's just wonderful. Don't let that stop you from giving, because if you want to receive, if you want to receive, you only receive what you sow into. And what I've found, I want to sow into a ministry that is blessed. Because you're going to reap from the anointing on that ministry. And so when you think about sowing into Shadow Place and tomorrow's offering, I'm going to give you advance notice, tomorrow's offering is totally towards missions. 100%. Mike said, we're not going to get enough for it. I don't care. It'll be plenty because it'll be enough for missions. We're giving now. Our giving has gone up to 30%. Shiloh Place gives about 30% of its income because I will not go on the road and do two meetings without one of those offerings being for Shiloh for missions. And so the whole offering tomorrow, you pray overnight and over that. What can I sow? And what it'll go to is 100% of it tomorrow will go into Poland and Slovakia's mission conferences. We just did one in June. These pastors have no money. It cost us $15,000 to put on two conferences to bring these pastors in, to take the team in there. So your whole thing will go towards that. It was given joyfully, abundantly. So tomorrow's whole thing will go to that. Was I out of line sharing that? I was just sitting there. I was getting wound up about all the money coming in now. But money just coming in everywhere. If I need to repent publicly for sharing that, I repent. But finances, believe, that's one of the places. I don't know that it's somewhere it's written in here, and I may skip over that, but circle that.
You will cannot fast without financial bondages. You can't fast with godly motives without one of the rewards and blessings being financial bondages will be broken over you. Because what happened when we saw during a fast? Part of the motive of our fast ought to be to give to the poor. So when you fast and give, then one of the rewards is you will reap from that. Now, what are some secondary New Testament reasons for fasting? Secondary New Testament reasons. One in Luke 2:36, we see where the prophetess Anna served God night and day with fastings and prayers. So one means for reason for fasting is I just want to increase my service. I want to increase my servanthood to God. So here we see a New Testament reason. The second one would be you minister to the Lord when you fast. In Acts 13:1-2, at Antioch, the church and the prophets and the teacher, while they were ministering to the Lord, fasted. Some of the times, some of the solitude fasts I've been on in the past, I'd gather a couple of pastors together, and every night at 7 o'clock was worship time. And we'd just get out and worship. We'd have 5-6 hours of just worship, just ministering to the Lord, laying there fasting. Boy, you get a hold of you. Some of y'all know Avis Hammond. You get Avis, and he can just get in there on his guitar, and you get in there in a fast. You just worship for 5-6 hours, ministering to the Lord, and it's some of the greatest worship I have ever had. I mean, it's better than Toronto, you know? Just getting in there, doing 3 or 4 men together in a fast, together in solitude, just worshiping the Lord, and it's a form of ministering the Lord. Soon as I go into the fast, I know I am ministering to the Lord during this fast all through the day. Helps me to work past the discomfort of it. Helps me work past breaking some of the habitual addictions that you may be trying to break through. Fasting helps you become more sensitive to the voice of the Spirit and to make wise choices. Acts 13:2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Why was I on such a pretty intense Daniel fast for three months? Part of it was because the ministry's growing. The other part was we were seeing we can bring on now some administrative help. We can hire someone full-time now, administrative. I don't just want an employee. I want a team member. I want someone that's here as part of the team. So we fasted and prayed. We had people wanted the position. Can't have it. We had a need to hire someone in this position. Can't have it. Fasting, where's the word of the Lord? Where's the word of the Lord? Where's the direction on this? And I'm standing in the shower about 4 weeks ago, just standing in the shower. Lord, what are we going to do? My wife is about to go crazy. She has very little hair left. And I don't want to buy her a wig, you know. We've got to find somebody for this position. I don't want an employee. We put ads in the paper, reviewed, have all these people qualified, but it was all employees. And God says, just call Gil, the airplane pilot over at the Air Force Base in Mississippi. Just call him. I got out of the shower, went right in. He's still in the bathrobe. Called him on the phone. Forgot it was an hour time zone difference. You know, he's just crawling out of bed about 6:30. And it was a guy I'd met in July. Well, I met him about a year ago, but I was in his church in July. And, Gil, I just needed to call you. You know, I talked to you about an administrator job, and you just made one statement. Boy, I'd like to do that someday. And it was in July, but he's making $17,000 a year with the Air Force, and they're paying him $43,000 a year to work 30 hours a week training their pilots there, and he's pretty comfortable. And he said, I can't believe you called me. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, I just yesterday resigned. Not only did I resign, a week ago my wife and I made a decision. We're leaving our whole career in life with the Air Force. This guy was a squadron commander, major in the military. When Andrew blew into Miami and wiped out the Air Force base, he's the one that had to put all the pilots and the things back together. He's such an organization and an administration freak. I mean, he gets joy and gets happy about making numbers work together and books work together. These guys are weird to me. You know? I said, yeah, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'm going to go down to Darien, Georgia, where my mom lives, and I'm going to be the administrator in Lee Brandt's church. And Lee Brandt said, they're going to pay you? They can't pay you. They've got about 50 people. No, I'm going to go to work at Walmart or something. I don't know. I'm just, how would you like to work for a ministry full time and get your salary? You mean you're willing to consider me? 2 days he's sitting on my doorstep with all his resumes. We had a general in the Air Force who was over the stealth bomber project look at the resumes. He said, this is one of the finest officers in the whole military. He said, the key to this resume is, did a general sign it or a colonel sign it? And it was signed by a general. He said, there's nobody better. This guy's going to work for us for peanuts. What he'd get starting out at Walmart. Where did that come from? Fasting literally puts thoughts in your mind.
That's right.
To make choices that God would make. And here you're standing in the shower, been pulling your hair out for 6 weeks, and not just been, and out of nowhere pops in your mind, this guy called him. But I've been in a fast for 2 months. A Daniel fast for 2 months with and 1 week or 7 to 12 days of each of those months in a normal fast. And believing God, God, you've got the man that's going to come in and join this team. He doesn't need money. He's not looking for a job. He's wanting to come in and exercise his gift of administration and organization. And God speaks the name. And he starts Friday. He pulled into town with his U-Haul Wednesday night, loaded down, has no home, staying in a motel, doesn't know where he's going, has no debt, had his house paid for, a ranch and horses, had horses with him, everything, had it pulled in town. Where are you going to stay? You have two little kids, 8 and 3 years old. I don't know. I'm just coming to help Jack do what God's called him to do. He doesn't want to teach, doesn't want to be a pastor. He says, just give me the books and give me the numbers. I'll make it work. But see, that's God. His house sold within 7 days.
Wow.
That's got to be God. Fasting and prayer. How many are ready to go on a fast? It'll do it. Fasting, New Testament reason. Fasting helps you to impart spiritual blessings to others just through the laying on of hands. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went. The spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands by the presbytery. That here in the book of Acts, before they sent people out, they'd lay hands on them and fast and pray and send them out. I was in Peoria, Illinois, the church last week, and I was just wore out. It had been one of the most intense series of meetings. I finished preaching Wednesday night, and I couldn't even stand. And I didn't have my chair with me. I had to fly up there and didn't have my chair with me. And I'm wondering, how am I going to minister to these people? Because I take 5 minutes with every person I pray over, as we did with Julie, and take time. I want to try to pray them through. And I'm saying, how am I going to pray? And we'd gone in early and raised up ministry teams. Anybody that wants a spiritual impartation, I'm going to come and sit on the platform, and you line up and just come right by me, and you're just going to come by, and I'm just going to lay hands on you. And the other ministry teams, they're going to pray. And you can go get in the other line. So we had 5 teams raised up to impart a Father's blessing, impart healing, and I prayed over all them on Saturday night, raising them up, imparting the healing. And so everybody started in line over here, and the whole church, about 200 people there, started over there and come through me, and then go on to get the soaking prayers, you know. But I had to sit. Now wouldn't you know, God, every time I touched someone, they laid out. And so we got them so piled up over here, I couldn't sit and pray. I had to go find a stool for me to sit on. I had to carry it around and get away from the piles of people. And I'm wondering, what is going on? But see, through fasting, there is such a release of the anointing upon you. I mean, you just, and that's not our pattern of we're normally doing it. Normally, I want to stay with them for 4 or 5 minutes and pray them through an area. But then, you know, I laid the groundwork when I said it. All right, I'm just going to impart what the Spirit, Numbers 11:17, the Spirit that's upon me, that is going to be put upon you, so I not bear the burden of these people alone. And everybody says, I want that. We'll do that tomorrow when we close. If anybody wants an impartation of the spirit of fasting that's been upon us, that we'll just take time. It doesn't have to be a feeling. You don't have to fall down, but we'll make sure we pray over everyone. Just take 10 or 15 seconds. Because I believe that verse in Numbers 11:17, the spirit that's upon me can be imparted, can be placed upon you through the gift of laying on of hands. And all we're going to do is pray that the grace of fasting that's been upon my life will be imparted to your life. Fasting prepares you to minister to others. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. Again, Jesus did not go into ministry. I find it very interesting. He did not enter into ministry until he fasted 40 days. Apostle Paul did not enter into the ministry until he ended. He spent three years on the backside of the desert. Moses didn't enter into the ministry until he spent 40 days on the backside of the desert. I mean, 40 years in the desert. Fasting destroys doubt and unbelief and increases our faith. And we've been through the Matthew 17, verse 20 and 21, that it literally breaks the spirit of doubt. And most of these previous references, we see that literally through the fasting of the people in the Old Testament and New Testament changed the course of history. Literally, absolutely nothing is impossible to people who fast and seek God. Nothing is possible. And I've seen so many people try to get in the front lines of ministry. So many people try to move into the forefront, and they are taken out. All around us right now, January 1st, I've been saying it all year, our newsletters have said it, January 1st, 1997, something happened in the spiritual realm. Literally, our phone has been ringing off the hook with hurting and wounded pastors all over the world. I don't even know how they get my phone number. Calling from all over the world, people are hurting, something has happened in the spiritual realm. We're moving into a whole new level, new levels, new devils. And they're coming against the body of Christ. And if we're going to get in this war, we're going to move in the front line of battle, we better come equipped with the armor of fasting about our belts. I mean, ready to do war. I believe many have sought to do great things in God's name, but were held back because they never entered into the arena of fasting and praying. They entered into a great arena of spiritual warfare, but they were not prepared through fasting and prayer. If you desire to be a minister to your family, you will fast. If you desire to see bonds of wickedness broke, you will fast. If you desire to minister to wounded and brokenhearted people, you will fast. If you desire to stand in the gap for others, you will fast. If you desire to receive restoration come to the body of Christ, if you desire to see the old paths rebuilt, you will fast. If you desire authority over darkness, you will fast. You desire spiritual strength, the answered prayer, divine help, spiritual guidance, wisdom from above, knowledge becoming understanding, refreshing, restoration, supernatural protection, favor with God, favor with man, fruitfulness in ministry, dying to the self-life. Then you will pray and fast. The supernatural flows forth from a man or woman whose lifestyle is a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. People wonder, how come you've never taught on this? I believe because Satan hasn't had us deceived, the body of Christ deceived, and me. One-on-one, sometimes I would talk about it, never to the depth, because I thought, well, this is just a personal area of your life you shouldn't talk on. And yet, it's not really taught in the body of Christ. So when it's done, it's not balanced.
That's right.
Okay, four types of chapter 5. You may want to put in there and mark that out. I've changed that. It will become five types of biblical fasting. Because there basically is five different types. Again, we started out with a definition. Biblical fasting is the abstinence of food and at times water also for the purpose of humbling ourselves so that we may focus more clearly upon God and hearing His voice. Zechariah 8:19, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. Fasting does not have to be a heaviness. There will be seasons of heaviness. 8:19, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth months will become joy, gladness, and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. So love, truth, and peace. Fasting does not have to be a heaviness. There will be seasons of heaviness, but it becomes something that brings and releases nothing but joy and gladness within our hearts. Fasting is never, we said already, to become an outward show of spirituality or piety.
This concludes side one. Please turn the tape over for side two.